I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
3-2. Here it is. And it is swung and grounded to first. Backhanded off the glove of the ball into the outfield. One run scores. Chisholm behind him. The Red Sox defense has betrayed them in the fourth inning. And it is 4-0 Yankees. That was a weird hop on the first baseline for a seasoned pro like Lowe. That's a play he's got to make.
I stand with Will Fleming on that one. Lowe's brought here in part for his defense. That's a double play.
Yeah.
Potentially a double play that gets early out of that inning. It's 2-0 as opposed to 4-0. You probably lose either way, the way Schlittler was throwing on the other side. But that felt like a significant play, at least from giving your team a little bit of hope and feeling like all hope was lost.
Yeah. Did you hear any of Nathaniel Lowe prior to the game? I don't know if you caught any of this.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, this is I'm nervous, but this is fun. Something like that, right?
Yeah, like he's like, I didn't sleep last night. He's like, you can hear my voice is shaking. I was like, wait a minute. This guy has like World Series experience. And he was so nervous. Like, I get the old like, oh, I got butterflies or whatever, right? Before the game. But he was talking about like how nervous he was and how he couldn't sleep at all. I'm like, oh, I don't have a lot of confidence in that.
That doesn't feel great.
As like, conversely, and not that he had like a great game or anything, but Alex Bregman was asked about it. He's like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Like Alex Bregman like, couldn't wait for like a big time elimination game in Yankee Stadium. Nathaniel Lowe was like, I'm so nervous. My voice is shaking.
It's over. We are screwed.
Like, oh, that guy had an error in the game? Like, weird. No kidding. His glove was probably shaking. Like, I was like, I don't love the confidence there. And I didn't really put it together in real time. Like, I heard that comment because he was up. He was at the podium because they announced that he was starting or whatever. And I'm like, what a weird thing to say.
Yeah. And again, for a guy who's been in a lot of big games.
Oh, he's not Cam Schlittler or Connelly Early. Who you could tell if they were a little nervous. Neither one of them showed it if they were. But this guy that you thought, yeah, would be more of a veteran player compared to more playoff experience than a lot of what the Red Sox have.
Real quick, to close the loop, we'll take your thoughts on it all day long, but to close the loop on the most hated Yankees. A lot of pushback that neither of us had A-Rod on there.
Yeah, I don't really hate A-Rod.
I would say some pushback. This is one that I didn't consider. It's a good one. Clemens?
So, and maybe this is me more just wanting all the roid guys in the Hall of Fame. So, like, I get the thing with Clemens. But Clemens also, you got to remember, going all the way back to it, the Red Sox didn't want him anymore. So he left. Now I know, and then he went to Toronto for a couple years. Then he went to the Yankees. So I personally never really hated Clemens. I get it. I think Clemens and A-Rod would be on a lot of people's lists, but they're not on mine.
If you asked me in 03, 01,
yeah,
my list would look a lot different.
Yeah.
But because the Red Sox have won, most of the really good Yankee players, like, I still don't like Jeter, but the guys who really bother me are like the bum players, you know, and maybe that's harsh for Paul O'Neill.
Well, like Kareem Garcia.
Yeah, those guys like is what now sticks out in my head where I'm like, those guys sucked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they acted like they were God's gift to baseball. Like,
right, because they were the 20th guy on the Yankees.
Because they just happened to be on the Yankees with these stacked rosters that just won before they even threw out the baseballs every year.
Yeah.
Like, those are the guys that still to this day really piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
But we have different lists. That's fine. Somebody also pointed out Clue Hayward is not a real person.
Which was
a good observation.
No way. Saw him in a movie.
617-779-7937. While we're here, Kevin's in Brookline. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Hey, guys, how are you? Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
A couple maybe omissions, maybe not, but my three most I hated the most was Mickey the Rat Rivers, who I always detested. Thurman Pie Face Munson, God rest his soul, but he was always incredibly annoying. And Pantload David Wells, just an aggravating fat slob who always came up big.
Twitch chat was talking about David Wells.
Yeah.
David Wells.
I hated him most as a Red Sox, not a Yankee.
Honestly,
that's true.
David Wells.
Yeah, David Wells. I was always enjoyed the different shapes and sizes a ball player could come in. So I didn't really mind David Wells, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
He was good. Then there's the whole thing. He's like, hey, he bought Babe Ruth's hat and he's wearing it. I'm like, gross.
I'm pretty sure he asked to unretire his number to wear it when he joined the Yankees.
Yeah, that too.
That's weird.
Another one that's on everybody's list.
Wants to wear Babe Ruth's skin. Like, that's weird.
This would be on like our dad's list and like the older generation, but obviously Bucky Dent. And funny story.
We got some texts about Bucky Dent and Reggie Jackson, and I'm not feeling those ones.
So funny story, and you can save the brag drop. This is a big brag coming up. In high school, every other year, our baseball team would go to Florida, brag.
Sick
yeah,
brag,
I already said
bro.
You could save it. And so we go down there.
I still liked it.
And whatever, for spring training. But where we did our spring training was at Bucky Dent's baseball school.
Sick brag,
and he legit
bro.
Had a, he hit the, they had like a green monster. Like one of the fields was like, the definition of Fenway Park, which is crazy because it's like Bucky Dent's one hit he ever had happened at the Monster. So he like constructs Fenway Park down there. But anyway, we meet him one of the first times we're down there. And
sick brag, bro.
I already bragged it. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. It makes sense.
He goes, hey, everybody, like, welcome to, like, Bucky Dent School. He's like, does everybody want some, like, anybody want some autographs? Our whole team, like, all from New England, were like, no thanks. He's like, what? We're like, oh, we're good, dude.
No,
we do not want your autographs.
No thanks, bro.
No thanks.
Yeah, actually, I'll take one. I got to wipe my ass. okay, well, pretty good. Good story time there.
Thank you.
617-779-7937. Keith, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because we asked it going in.
I know.
Was this year a success for the Boston Red Sox?
Man, today it doesn't feel like it, but
no.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because I'm not going to just keep moving the goalposts. I'm going to be consistent. I'm like all the Devers people out there. I'm going to be consistent. And a month ago, I think we might have asked the same question. And I said, you got to make the playoffs. And they were in the playoffs, and they were like letting their lead slip away. We're like, oh, could they win the division? Oh, wait a minute, could they miss altogether? And it was touch and go, especially after the Roman Anthony injury. And so I said then, as long as they make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. Garrett Crochet was dominant in game one, and then sadly they lose the next two games. Baseball to me is the ultimate crapshoot. Like, it'll be interesting to see what the World Series matchup ends up being. Could be, you know, a team like the Tigers, for all we know, that had this huge lead, let it all slip away, and then had to go on the road in the wild card round. It could be, it still could be anybody. So for me, yeah, it's a tough day and time
to say
yes.
To be like, great season.
No, super frustrating, but overall, after a team that hasn't made the playoffs for 4 years, to get in, I think it is a success.
So I would answer it the same way. Like, if we got to be black and white, no gray, binary answer, yes or no. Yes, this year was a success. Now, there was a time, Keith, in late August, I guess it couldn't have been early September, middle of August, late August, where they were red hot. I revised it upwards. I'm like, I think they now have to win a round. I think they have to advance. And then Roman Anthony got hurt, and I revised it back down. I'm like, just get in. That will be a successful year. Now, what complicates it is who you lost to and how you lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Yankees are the more talented team, I guess. They had a better season. They had home field for a reason. But the Red Sox dominated that matchup. They could have, maybe even should have, won game two. So all of that makes it very frustrating. And I don't want to let them off the hook for the failure that was last night, which, again, was just lifeless, gutless, dead man walking performance. Which was embarrassing, shameful, is what it was. And game two, the way they lost, was just gut-wrenching and gross. So I don't want to let them off the hook for any of that.
Right.
But this was a small S success for the Red Sox this year. They had to make the playoffs, and they did.
Yeah.
Here's Alex Cora on that question. He doesn't necessarily answer it the way we did, but I kind of liked his phrasing on this.
Alex, how would you sum up the season? Tough early going, improved throughout the summer, yet disappointing ending?
I mean, we didn't finish the way we wanted, so that's not kind of like, that's not great. But, you know, we'll sit down and reflect how the season went. We'll talk about it in the upcoming days, but as an organization compared to other years, I think we took a step forward in certain areas. You know, like I always said, you know, we're not a perfect team, we are a good team that needs to keep improving. And, you know, let's see what the offseason brings. But I truly believe we're going to keep getting better.
Okay, so the question is, was it a success or no? Which to me is a harder one to answer. But if you use Cora's wording, it was a step forward. Like, I do think that's fair to say. And now everybody crying about ownership. Ownership. I do think that their gripe is going to be amplified now. Ownership has to go out and spend this offseason. Breslow, you're back under the microscope. You don't get credit forever because you traded for Garrett Crochet. I think you get credit for it this year. But you're going to go out and do it again and improve the team. And John Henry, you have to spend. Now you have to use that Devers money that you salary dumped at the trade deadline. You were proven right. That was the right move. Whether it was for the right reasons or not, I think it was. I think subtracting Devers allowed them to make the playoffs.
Yep.
I don't think they were making the playoffs with Devers. How do I know? They weren't on pace too while he was here. They missed it the last 3 years while he was here. But now you have to come through and spend that money and replace him. And Breslow, you're back on the clock. You have to go out and do it. So it was a step forward, but now you got to cement it and take another step forward next year, because just making the playoffs next year won't be acceptable.
No, agreed. And now, too, like, you had a lot of young guys come up and played bigger roles than you anticipated for this year, and they were really good. Unfortunately, a couple of those guys got hurt. But Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and then take it one step further, Peyton Tolley and Connelly Early, I don't think were expected to be in the positions that they were in, and they all helped you quite a bit to get to where you were. This team was 5 games under 500 on June 6th, and then they finished the season 16 games over 500. So it was kind of teetering there for a little bit. We all predicted them to make the playoffs. I know we talked about Alex Cora's comments right after the season ended. He was kind of wrong about this. I think most people thought they would be in the playoffs. But then the way the season got going, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I thought maybe Tanner Houck would be a part of it. He isn't. I thought maybe Cutter Crawford would play this year. He didn't. I thought Tristan Casas might play. He didn't. I thought Rafael Devers wouldn't be a giant turd in the clubhouse. He was.
He was.
So, like, you had all these different things that you had to figure out on the fly, which they ultimately did. They made the playoffs in what was a very competitive, I wouldn't say good, but I would say competitive American League. And they got in. And they even took game one. Like, I thought you had some real positive things that happened this year. Garrett Crochet was a Cy Young candidate. Some of your young players played really well. And yeah, there's a lot more to do this offseason. I'd be a little bit concerned about that. You know, how much will John Henry be willing to invest in his team? It should be set up for him to do it and still be under the Devers deal. Like, you got out from the Devers deal. So now can you use, not even all that, I'll be realistic, can you use 75% of that money and help your team in the near future? Because they're not that far away from being even the best team in the American League.
So was it a success? You know, and it doesn't feel great today because losing to the Yankees sucks, and that obviously complicates things. But I'd say they did what they had to do this year. I got to pick one or the other, success or failure. Those are your options.
That's it. It's like this, Rotten Tomatoes, up or down.
Right, not gray area in between. Nope. Did they succeed or did they fail? They succeeded, but there's more to do. And I'm with you on that. John Henry remains a problem. I think until he goes out and spends this offseason, John Henry remains a problem. I thought Devers was a bigger one, but he remains a problem. Keith, you tweeted during the game last night, or was this right when the game ended? I forget.
It was like I was frustrated. I didn't think they were coming back. It was during like the ninth inning.
So Keith tweeted out, and you can go seek it out, at Keith21, his 2026 Red Sox roster.
Yeah, basically just the starting nine and the five-man rotation. Yeah. I didn't get in like...
Yeah, you didn't do all 26.
I didn't do a deep... I have a limited Twitter account. I don't have like the... I don't pay for it, so sure. I can't go through the whole thing. But basically, I went with... This is what I think is a realistic possibility, but also like some wishful thinking. You know what I mean? Like, I think this could happen. Obviously, there are plenty of other players I would like to get. It's really just two additions.
I think this
two
is
additions.
I think this is very realistic.
So I would have Carlos Narvaez back as the catcher. I think the big swing in free agency for a stick would be Pete Alonso. He makes too much sense. We've brought his name up before. Right-handed bat at first base. I'm not trusting Tristan Casas. I'm not running that back for another year. I'm bringing in Pete Alonso, middle of the order bat, sock and dingers playing first base. This we can debate, but right now I would start the year with Marcelo Meyer at second. I'd bring back Bregman at third. I'd bring back Story at short. We can get into the semantics there. Outfield of Roman Anthony in left, Seidan Rafaela in center, Willy Abreu in right, and then I'll trot back Masataka Yoshida. Maybe you find a platoon guy. I know Ref Snyder's a free agent, but maybe you have a lefty-righty platoon at DH. Then Garrett Crochet, I make a trade for Joe Ryan. I actually get it done this time. He's your number two. Then Bayo early. And then we'll see what happens with Lucas Giolito's arm and contract. So either Giolito or probably Tolley as like your fifth guy.
I think Giolito should be back.
Yeah, yeah. I'd take him back.
And I'd imagine now the injury, he'd probably take their qualifying offer, or maybe he won't even opt out. But either way, if they offer him the qualifying offer, I bet he takes it. And it sounds like when the Red Sox say we avoided a disaster, he wouldn't pitch in October, we avoided a disaster. I think he'd be ready for next year, but that's some guesswork. But anyway, the additions are Pete Alonso. Alonso or Schwarber, Keith?
Oh, man.
I say Alonso.
Yeah, and probably Alonso.
Schwarber in a vacuum is better. And I love Schwarber when he was here, and I hated that they didn't bring him back.
Well,
I want Alonso's the better fit.
So Alonso's the better fit.
Defensively and righty power bat. He's the better fit on this team.
He is. But if Bregman and Story are both back, I think you can take in Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, I mean,
because it's another left. I mean, you can take him no matter what. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's 50 home runs. Like you'll take the guy.
If this were John Henry 20 years ago, they'd get both. But but now let's be realistic.
So who's playing for? Like, is Yoshida still on the team? Because like I'd rather Schwarber DH than do anything else. I don't really want Schwarber at first base. So then I guess therefore Pete Alonso.
You can sign Schwarber and put him wherever you want.
Pete Alonso. And out of those two, I think it's an easier kind of fit. They obviously like the flexibility at DH. And, you know, you still have good if Meyer and Anthony are healthy, and those are some lefty bats, and if Willie Abreu is still here, so it'd be a good mix. You'd have a good balance. You'd have more of a balance with Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, to me, I think that's the answer. What does it take to get Joe Ryan?
So,
They want Duran? Like, I know we're both done with Duran. I thought he'd come through last night. He didn't. I didn't want him in the lineup in game two, so I was already teetering. Duran, Justin in D.C. called him a choker, and we're like, look, you might not be wrong. Let's see how it goes.
So the Red Sox got Garrett Crochet last year for just prospects. Uh-huh. Now, one of the prospects was Kyle Teal, who's one of the best in the system. So I'm sure the Twins would ask for Tolley or Early. I don't really want to do that because I would have those guys in the rotation. I don't think they'd want Duran. Maybe you can trade Duran to somebody else for a high prospect and put that guy into the deal. I would say maybe any other prospects outside of those two.
How about – so like –
I would give him Willie Abreu if they wanted him.
Okay.
I have him currently in my right field, but I would give him him.
If they wanted Duran and two prospects. Now, the talk at the deadline was, and Brad Foe wrote this, Breslow was offering two of three prospects. Tolley, Password, and I'm blanking on who the other
probably,
one was.
Probably Arias or Luis Soraya.
It might have been. I forget. Arias.
I'd give him Password.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
And I'd give him Tolley.
You would.
I mean, for Joe Ryan,
he just throws heaters.
He does. Yeah. But it's like, if they want...
Yeah, and I think Connelly Early being really good gives you that flexibility of, like, we still have a homegrown pitcher, cost-controlled pitcher.
If they want Duran and two prospects, and Tolley's a prospect, Early's a prospect...
I can't imagine they want Duran.
I mean, I don't either, but I'm just saying, if some sort of deal like that, maybe they're trying to buy low. He's still pretty affordable.
So between Tolley and Early... Yeah, I would keep Early over Tolley.
So I would rather have Tolley long term, but I would I would move either of them.
Early's got like six pitches. Tolley has one.
I know, but Tolley feels like he has
it
ceiling. Whereas Early might kind of be what he is.
But I wonder if Tolley's like a closer.
He could be.
I don't know. I wonder if he's a starter.
He may not be a starter. I mean, he wasn't this year, but I don't know. He also got called up to the bigs way before we expected, and if he adds another pitch, look out.
Now, the reason why I even say that is because I see, like, on the Twitch chat, it's like, Tolley and Early, you can't keep both of those guys and get Joe Ryan. You might be right. But last year, as Bradford told us, the White Sox said, we'll take Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer for Garrett Crochet. And the Red Sox like, we're not doing that. And then in the offseason, they took Teal and, like, three other guys.
Yeah.
Now, Teal's no slouch, but I'm just saying, like, that changed pretty drastically from July to, you know, December.
Yeah, where you're trying to use the deadline as pressure. Now, you know, you might be negotiating against more people this offseason.
Oh, for sure.
But I who's the kid they drafted out of Oklahoma first round? It's similar to what they did.
Witherspoon?
Yeah, like if the Twins like him, that's basically what they did the year before. They threw in their first round pick along with Kyle Teal, and it got the job done for Crochet. And Crochet should cost more than Joe Ryan. 617-779-7937. You could jump in there. Oh, by the way, real quick. Alex Bregman after the game, what'd you make of this, Keith? He was very terse and upset to even be asked about his future in Boston, which I guess some people will be like, hey, man, he just lost the game. Leave him alone. I look at it as you have to ask that question there. The guy's probably going to go run and hide for the rest of the offseason.
I think it's fair.
So you're not going to get a chance to talk to him again. But I guess different minds can agree to disagree on that one. Here's Bregman when asked about his future last night.
Alex, you said they have a bright future with a young group. Is this a clubhouse you could envision being a part of if both sides can come to an agreement?
Of course. Not even thinking about that at all right now. I'm thinking about the game that just happened.
Alex, when you
talked about future not being on your mind, so excuse the question, but with that decision coming in the next month, what are the next few weeks hold for you in terms of that, thinking about it?
I'm going to think about this game and the guys in the room and start my off season and get after it and become a better baseball player.
He gone!
So I think, like, first of all, you 100% have to ask because you might get a Juan Soto, Pete Alonso type answer, right? Like, every once in a while, a guy just kind of really kind of like, tells
you, I'll go to the highest bidder.
See you later, guys. Yeah. I'm ready for it. And so Bregman not going that route. But, yeah, I think it's up in the air, but I was never entirely fearful that he was going to leave. Now, he might opt out, but you could still re-sign him, or he just opts in. It was a little overblown how good he was this year. I think he's an amazing clubhouse personality. He might be our manager of the year when we give out our year-end awards.
Ooh,
he has a good shot at manager of the year for the Red Sox, but he missed a ton of games. You know, didn't have really any power in the playoffs. What, he hit 18 dingers or whatever for the season?
Yeah.
So, like, he was good, but I think it was a little overblown how good he, like, is somebody giving him $200 million?
I don't think so. And, again, this is a guy who loves Bregman. And it's like, for all the people's swings that he fixed and all the pitchers that he gave him little tips to fix, it would have been nice if he fixed his own down the stretch. Like, instead of handing out all these other tips in September, like, maybe fix your own swing and then let everybody else know what they're doing wrong after the fact. So, look, I love Bregman. I think they needed a guy like that who had been there, done that, leader. He's the total opposite of Devers. So I like all those things. But I do think his success on the field was overrated. I want him back. I don't think teams are going to be lining up to pay him. But that's also an indication that it wasn't as good on the field as we thought. I didn't think his answer told us anything about him leaving. Nick, I know you read into that. I was talking to Twitch Mitch down the hall.
No.
He's like, oh, he's definitely gone the way he read it. I didn't read it
I've also been pretty convinced he's going to opt out anyway.
Well, that's fine. And if you already felt that way, you felt that way. I don't think the answer told us anything. I just think he was in a pissy
mood. His second half, by the way, 63 games, 7 home runs, 27 RBI, hit .250 with a .727 OPS.
Like, maybe instead of telling Nate Lowe how to fix his swing, maybe fix your
own. Like, do you think his market now is a lot better than it was last year?
No.
Me neither.
He's a year older and was hurt again.
Right. And we already saw what those offers were. And so, yeah, you can, you know, now there's inflation. But, like, how much more is he really going to get? I'm not worried. I think he's on the team next year.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he opts out. And if he does, they can still pay him.
Yep.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's in today's Friday 4-Pack?
Friday four pack brought to you by Jackson Lumber of Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber of Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber of Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We got Pat's and Bill's thoughts that we're going to get to coming up later on this hour. We'll get back to the Red Sox and Yankees at high noon. What's up first in the four pack today, Billy?
What one player on the Bills, besides Josh Allen, would you want most on the Patriots?
It's honestly not. This is another team where I feel like you look at it and you're like, eh, the roster, I don't.
No.
I don't love it.
I don't like the head coach. I don't like most of the roster. And yet we also think they could be the best team in football.
Yeah,
it goes to show you how good Josh Allen is.
Well, it tells you how quarterback-centric the league is, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't really need him, but James Cook's really good.
James Cook has been
I'm leaning towards James Cook because that's the only other player on offense that you look at and you're like, he's way above average. They like the tight ends, I think, are average. The receivers, I think, are below average. Josh Allen is elite. And then James Cook's really good. I think he's got, what, three straight 100-yard games or whatever. He's got five rushing touchdowns on the season. He's like he really emerged last year as like a true weapon for them. So I know the Patriots have like a crowded backfield, but I think he's just that much better than most of the other guys on the team. Now, maybe it's one of the guys on defense that's always hurt.
So this is what I'm wondering. Like, Milano's been there forever. He hasn't been healthy in a long time.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to think of who even is a real standout player on their defense. Rousseau, I feel like, racks up sacks over there. Yeah. Ed Oliver's been there for a while. Rousseau led him in sacks last year, maybe.
Joey Bosa?
I don't know. Bosa, like, Tre'Davious White is old.
Wait. No. I'm sorry. Nick Bosa got hurt. So Joey Bosa's there.
Joey Bosa's there and been good.
Has he been good? Okay, I was going to say, he's just been hurt for so long, I feel like he's a shell of himself. But if you're telling me he's been good, fine. I think the right answer is James Cook. We can't have Josh Allen. We already have mini Josh Allen and Drake May. I think James Cook is the right answer.
NBC 10 Sam Reed shows us something naughty but good.
Joey Bosa?
Joey Bosa, four forced fumbles this year.
I mean, they
couple
have
sacks,
wow,
yeah.
two four sacks, four forced fumbles. Fumbles.
Wow, okay. So maybe he should be in
menace.
The
menace.
Sleeping on him.
A menace. Now, I'll still go James Cook, even though usually when we ask this question, I try to find another position that the Patriots need, but
right.
I'll go Cook.
Their wide receivers are bad.
Yeah.
Their
tight ends are worse than yours.
Tight ends aren't great. What about, is Dawkins their tackle? Like, is Deion Dawkins maybe a name? Like, if you really
Deion
wanted
Dawkins
to
left tackle, yeah.
If you wanted to beef that up, I mean, maybe. But I feel like Pat's O-line has actually been okay.
Solid.
So, yeah, James Cook is the answer. What else, Billy?
What will happen first? Bills win the Super Bowl or the Patriots make an AFC title game?
Great question.
Thank you. Let's see.
AFC title game.
I think so. I just don't see the Bills winning a Super Bowl. I mean, at some point, you feel like Josh Allen has to. Like, or does he? You know, like, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. Like, some great quarterbacks have never won a Super Bowl.
Right. If the question was, what happens first? Bills get to a Super
Bowl. Yeah, no, they got
to
win it.
I would answer Bills. Now that franchise has to win.
I mean, the Commanders, for example, made the conference championship game last year, and nobody really thought that's how far they were going to go. They didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. And so if you make the playoffs, which is definitely a doable thing, and in fact, a lot of us think the Patriots make it this year, and then you win a game, you get an upset win in there. I guess, you know, if you are in the wild card round, you need two, but like maybe wild card round, sort of like a push 'em type game or a pick 'em game. Then you pull off one upset and boom, you're in the AFC title game. There have been some strange teams to make conference title games. So I think that's going to happen. Maybe this is a super homer take, but I think that's going to happen sooner than the Bills winning the Super Bowl.
I agree. And you made a point yesterday, too. Are we sure Josh Allen's finishing his career there?
Yeah, I
don't know. Maybe Josh Allen has four more years in Buffalo and the window's not that big and he goes somewhere else. And yeah, I think the answer is AFC title game for the Pats. That feels like a longer, larger window. And that is just a cursed losing franchise
Buffalo. It's only 4 weeks into the season, so obviously a lot can change, but it feels like another year where we're saying, if it's not this year, when? For the Bills.
Yeah.
I know Allen's very much in his prime, but the Ravens seem down, the Chiefs seem down, Joe Burrow's hurt. You're like, all right, if you come out of the AFC, this should be your year. And then maybe the NFC, the Eagles are kind of infighting, the Lions, they look good, but like they have some, you know, they lost their coordinators. Like maybe this is the year for the Bills.
But I think the first exercise or the first question, and then to answer that, it's really all on Josh Allen there. It really is. But I think the answer for me is Patriots. Vrabel's been to an AFC title game.
Right.
It feels like you have
another good point.
You
like
have
the
guy right. You have the guy at quarterback. So to me, I think that's the answer. I'm not telling you it's this year. I'm not telling you it's anytime soon.
No.
But I'd take the Pats there. What else, Billy?
Yankees or Blue Jays? Who you got?
I mean, I'm obviously rooting for the Blue Jays, but...
Don't you kind of... Counterpoint. Don't you kind of want the Yankees to advance?
Oh, to be like, would that motivate the Red Sox more in the offseason? Like, if they go on a run?
I mean, not even that. Just to look, they lost to a team that got to the ALCS. They lost to a team that got bounced in the next round.
No, that doesn't really do it for me.
They lost to Toronto?
Yeah, see, I also don't like Toronto.
Do you
subscribe to if the Yankees are in they were in the World Series last year, but the Red Sox also had a big offseason.
They did.
Like, if the Yankees win the whole thing, does John Henry say we got to spend more, or does he not even know? Does he stop paying attention? Or did he ever start?
I think he is not paying attention and or stop paying attention. So I'd like to say,
all right,
root for the Yankees to go on a run to get John Henry's attention and the Red Sox will respond, but I don't believe that.
But who do you think will win? Not who you're rooting for.
Okay,
who do you think will win?
I actually am rooting for the Yankees to validate them knocking the Red Sox out. I'll eventually root against the Yankees in the ALCS World Series if they get there, something like that. I want them to beat the stupid Blue Jays. I think they are going to beat the Blue Jays.
I think they beat the Blue Jays, too, because I think last week, before this series even started, I think we were like looking at the playoff bracket, and I'm like, whoever wins the series is beating the Blue Jays. You know, and so I'll stick by that. I guess their rotation's a lot better, especially with the
boost
you get from.
I guess that does make you feel worse. If the Yankees beat them, then you're like, we could have been there. Maybe that does make you feel worse.
I think that's definitely what's going to happen. And now that Cleveland's out, the Yankees just win the American League again.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the last one, Billy?
What is Christian Campbell's role next year?
So you did not have him at second base, Keith. You had Meyer at second, Story and Bregman back on the left side.
So here's the thing, and this is tough because you signed him to the contract, and you know it might be another time where there was like a month this season where they had more guys that should play every day than they had spots available. But if Story comes back, and that might be an if as well, he is coming off a really good season, so you might get at least – try to run that back. Unfortunately, both Marcelo Meyer and Trevor Story are so injury prone that I would start the season with those guys if they can, and then just know Campbell's probably gonna have to take over at second, and then either Meyer slides over to short or he's replacing Meyer, and then he's on the team, but I don't think he's in my ideal starting lineup.
Ideally, what is Christian Campbell defensively?
Second base. You're making a face. Where would you put him?
I mean, I think he might be an outfielder. And I don't know I'm not saying that fits on the team, but I'm just saying is he actually? He's probably actually a DH.
Mm-hmm.
But what is he actually? I'm not sure he's a second baseman.
I think like 3 years from now, ideally you have Anthony, Rafaela, and then whatever you decide to do in right field and the outfield. But I'm saying Meyer Campbell as like a second base.
I get that. I mean, that'd be great. I just don't actually think he's a big league second baseman.
I don't know if he's a big league anything.
Yeah,
he
might be a DH.
He had a good month.
Oh, you might not even be a big league DH.
But like, maybe not even a hitter. Like, I don't know what he is. He's the one I'm the least confident in. If you had to say like Anthony Meyer, Early, Tolley.
Yeah.
Campbell.
The problem is he's a lot like Duran, where the shine is off. Mm-hmm. And I actually think we were talking about this off the air. I almost brought up Campbell when you mentioned Joe Ryan. Like, how do you get Joe Ryan? I almost brought up Campbell, but I'm like, I don't think a team like the Twins wants Campbell. And that contract.
No, they'd rather pay him peanuts on arbitration.
I think they'd rather go year to year with a guy like Duran and try to catch lightning in a bottle than, you know, for 2 years. And maybe you could flip him a year and a half from now than someone like Campbell, who you're locked in on for whatever it is, 8 or 9 years if you get to the options.
Yeah.
So I think
he's only making like just over $7 million a year, 8 years, $60 million.
Right. But it's also locked into it for 9 years, and he might not be able to play.
We don't know if he's good.
As mad as we are at Duran, Duran is a big leaguer.
Right.
Like, he was an all-star 2 years ago. Right. He might never be that again, but Duran's a big leaguer. Is Christian Campbell? You don't know. So I think he's really hard to trade. I don't know if he can hit. I don't know where he is on the field. So where is he ideally next year? Probably starts in Worcester.
Mm.
And then if he rakes there and injuries happen, maybe he carves out a role, but I don't think he's on your big league club to start next year, which is wild.
Oh, you don't think he's on the team?
I mean, I wouldn't have him sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I guess you need him out there in AAA. Yeah, that's probably true. Because, is there a lot of days where he can play?
Maybe.
And, like, do you pick a position for him, or do you say, you know what, you're going to have to be sort of like everybody's backup?
The whole,
sort of what I thought Rafaela was going to be until he just took over center.
That didn't work for him last year. Now he's a year older, and maybe if he goes in preparing for that, it's different. But that didn't work for him last year, the bouncing around.
No.
Unfortunately,
though, it's only a matter of time until Story or Meyer get hurt.
Right. Yeah. So I'd probably start him in Worcester. That is the Friday 4-pack. Every Friday here on Jones and Keefe, it is a Patriots Friday. We will get into the Pats coming up. We're going to be joined by Mike and Wenu in the 1 o'clock hour. We have the Week in Review at 12:45. And... when we get to Pats and Bills, Keith's keys to the game this weekend. But let's get into too much of Drake May. Are the Patriots overly reliant on Drake May through 4 weeks? Let's get into that next.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. A lot of Red Sox talk today, but it is a Patriots Friday. Football talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We got Mike and Wenu in the 1 o'clock hour. We got Keys Keys.
Oh, yeah.
The Pats and Bills coming up also at 1 o'clock. Week in review. At 12:45, we'll get back to the Red Sox and Yankees at high noon. But in the meantime, Keith, you tell me, is this a good or a bad Drake May stat?
Okay,
Dan.
Our favorite game.
Yeah,
is this a good or a bad stat?
Good or bad?
Good or bad?
Dan Orlovsky tweeted this out yesterday.
Okay.
Drake May has accounted for 77% of his team's yardage, more than any other player in football. Is that a good or a bad Drake May stat?
It's probably not good. Probably bad, just because that's a lot. That is a lot to put on a player. I think it should be high. Like, I think Drake May is that type of player where that number should be high. But at the same time, with this offensive line, we thought they were going to be better at run blocking. And with these running backs, we thought they might be a little bit more productive. And maybe that's something that early in the season and like the way the games are, I don't know, that kind of isn't what your overall plan is. But, you know, we talked about the importance of letting Drake May run. We were both in favor of that to start the year. I'm all about darts and scampers, but he shouldn't be your leading rusher every week, right? Or like close to it, or that kind of thing. Like the Stevenson and I would say specifically Henderson need to take a little bit more off of his plate, because then it also becomes a thing like, are you going to be able to play seven? Are you going to be upright for all 17 games? Are you going to be, you know, physically as, you know, in good shape by week 15, 16 as you are right now? So I guess I'm sort of answering it both ways. We're like, I'm glad he is such a dominant part of the offense. He absolutely should be. But if guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray, and if those guys are a less percentage of the offense, then maybe you need to take it back a little bit.
So, right. I guess for 4 weeks, it's not the end of the world. They're 2-2. It does show that he can carry the team for stretches. Big picture, that number has to come down. And I guess that's what I mean. That's not sustainable.
Also you're 2-2, right? If you're 4-0 and that's what's going on, maybe you could talk yourself into like this
good
is how
point.
We're doing it, but like it's not like it's netted like the best results.
So I think that's a great point. I think, you know, talking about if he has that many touches and he has to do so much individually, that might get him hurt. I think that's fair as well. I don't think that's sustainable. That number has to come down. And I think you win more games if it does. And I just think that's a good sign for the team, the health of the team, if it's not so Drake reliant.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's accounted for that much and accumulated that much production does speak to, if you need to lean on him for a stretch here and there, you can. So it's okay you survived the first month doing that. I don't think you can keep doing that and go to where we think this team can go. 9 wins, 10 wins, and in the playoffs.
It is funny. They average, as a team, just over 101 yards rushing per game, and it's pretty much split evenly between the three running backs and Drake May. And so you wonder, like, will one of those running backs sort of emerge from that? Because Drake May is averaging, whatever, 24 yards rushing per game. So that would be like 400-something yards, which I think is fine.
Yeah, right around what he did last year.
That's fine. Yeah. It could actually be higher. I would expect it to be higher. I think it speaks more to, shouldn't Stevenson, in addition to holding on to the ball, shouldn't he be doing more, and Henderson should be doing more? I think those guys are actually the reason why that stat is so tilted. I think it's because of the ineffectiveness of the running backs more than anything else.
Right. May's numbers aren't crazy. It's just that those guys aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
So I struggled a little bit this week, Keith, with the Verizon matchup and what to highlight. I personally think, and you let me know if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
I think Josh Allen, he's going to do what he does. What makes the Bills, what would make them unbeatable on Sunday night, is if you can't control Josh Allen, which you probably can't.
No.
And on top of that, James Cook goes off. They've started some of these games horribly. Teams have run on them consistently. So I think you got to keep James Cook in check. What does that mean? I don't have a great number for you. But James Cook can't go off. James Cook can't do what he's done through the first month of the season. You control him, and that means running and in the passing game. He's active in the passing game as well. If you limit him and you make Josh Allen more one-dimensional, I think that is the key to this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's always going to be about Josh Allen. So the one I would toss in there is just flip side it. Steph Diggs revenge game. You know, what is Steph Diggs going to do? Tre'Davious White is with the Bills again, and I'm sure those guys went up against each other quite a bit in practice back in the day. They're both a little bit older. They're both, you know, not as explosive as they once were. I wonder how much he'll have a chance to even cover them. You know, we'll see what they do on Steph Diggs. But if he's ever wanted to have a really good game, it would be this Sunday night. So I'm curious just to see what kind of attention he gets and if he's able to have another big game, because he's coming off one of his best games in a long time.
All right, that is the Verizon matchups for the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. I just want to double check this, because I think this line has moved a couple of times this week. It's fluctuated between 7.5 and 8.5.
Yep.
I see ESPN Bet has it at 8.5.
All right.
Let me just double check.
The old
apps here, I see 8.5 as well other places. So I think that line continues to bounce back and forth.
Uh-huh.
I feel good about the Patriots keeping it close with this team.
Yeah, Sportsbook Rhode Island's got it at 8.
Okay, so there. But either way, it's gone. Well, it dropped a little bit earlier in the week. It's now back up at 8 or over, depending on where you shop. So I feel good about the team keeping it close. They kept it close last year in Buffalo.
Yeah,
but I'm going to hold off on any official predictions until we get.
Obviously, the keys are going to help.
We're going to need all the keys to Pats and Bills coming up.
High over under too.
It is a nice healthy total. It is. We got Mike and Wenu in the 1 o'clock hour week in review at 12:45. Let's get back to Red Sox and Yankees. Could it have gone any worse last night? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.